Good morning, everyone. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time? All right, awesome. Oh, it's a good day to start the day recognizing we're here. Here to worship our Lord, God. All right, y'all. So, how are we doing today? Yeah?
Quiet.
Everybody's just kind of quiet. You know, it's not time change yet. That's next weekend. That's next Sunday. Don't get lazy yet. All right, so, you know, we're just here to worship the Lord, you know, and just raise our hands and praise and clap our hands and raise our voices high, because our God is able. Believe that?
Amen.
He's able to change anything in our lives. And God loves distortion. Sounds a little loud, Andy. Is that me?
No, just keep going. We're good. That way they're answering today, getting louder.
I don't know. All right, well, all right, let's try it out.
Do something here. I want to do that last chorus twice and that ending again. But while you're doing it, lift it up. How do you lift stuff up? Let's see it. Lift it up. All right. He defeated the grave. I want to cheer. Rah! Like you. All right. Big cheer. Our God is able. All right. Let's do that again. Every time we do, lift it up. What are you going to do? Lift it up. He defeated the grave. Oh, I got to do better than that. He defeated the grave. Oh, all right. That's pretty lame, but you're going to do better. You ready? Here we go. Take it.
All right. Let's take the music down a little bit first, though. Let's take it down. I want to hear the voices out there, you know? Because you know what? I hear me sing all the time. I don't care about me singing. It doesn't make a difference. Let's go. Lift it up.
Break it out, here we go.
Lift it up. He defeated.
Woo!
Great.
Wake you up, right? Besides waking us up, I want to wake up all the demons in hell and let them know that we have a Savior who rose from the grave. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Because why? Because his love never fails.
Hey, good segue.
Kind of love that, like, kind of like lounge singer kind of segue. You know?
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
I'm not a loner in these open seas.
Your love never fails.
The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side.
Your love never fails.
You stay.
And you stay the same. Your love never changes.
There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid,
because I know that you love me.
Thank you. all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Sing it out, you make.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
And you stay.
And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the ocean's rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Things
work together for my good.
You make all things work together for my good. Yes, Jesus. All things work together for my good.
Everybody together.
You make
all things work together for my good.
One more time. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here and reminding us just how awesome you are and how great your love is. As we continue the rest of the service and we send our children, they go to the Sunday school and just really connect, we just want to give you praise for who you are, God. Just move in this place in a mighty way. I have a feeling that many people are in here and just need something from you. And God, just reach out and touch them. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, so before the kids go, hold on one second. So, show of hands, who appreciates Jack for what he does? All right. Now, who appreciates me? See? All right, so this isn't about me, it's about Jack. So this is what they call Pastor Appreciation Month. So, you know, I know we appreciate Jack all the time, but this is the month, you know, just like Christmas and all those holidays, we show appreciation for our pastor. Because you know what? I'll be honest. When I first started coming to church, I thought the pastor's job was one day a week, right? Just Sunday, give a message, go home. No big deal. But you know what? As I got to know Jack a lot more, you know, his job is 24/7. If anybody's ever had Jack as a counselor, as a friend, you know that he's always constantly thinking about God and thinking about you. And I think that he would move heaven and earth for one person to come to know Christ. So, in fact, I think if it wasn't for Jack, I wouldn't be a worship leader today. I felt like, you know, Jack came in my life. I got to know him as a friend, and I became a musician, and then I started following and supporting his ministry. So again, that's just an example of how one person can change a life. So we've gathered our children up, and they got some important words to express to our pastor, Jack Cohen. We love you, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy, for all you do, for your work, your kindness, and guidance to you. Point to Jesus. You walk the walk. We usually listen when you talk. We think you're special. We think you're great. And we will pray for you every day. In October, no really, Daddy. We've got your back. Now we'll cut you a little slack when we truly think that you're the best, and thank you for all that you invest.
We appreciate all your hard work and the tireless hours you spare. It often seems to go unnoticed, so the evidence is clear. God sees your face faithful diligence in everything you do, and the smile upon his loving face so shows he appreciates you too.
We made a box full of encouraging notes that you can read if you are ever down, and appreciation notes that will let you know how much we appreciate all you do and all you are to us at Haven Community Church.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. There's one problem. This isn't on the schedule today, so don't gripe about being late to church today. Okay? All right. Thank you all very much. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, gosh, when God put the name Haven Community Church in my mind, who would have thought, huh? Here we are all these years later, so thank you. You guys don't know how much that means. Everybody I see here has a different story, and I've been blessed to be involved in some of your lives with all those things, with many of your lives, with a different story. Some of those encounters came through tragedy, and some of them have come through joy, but through it all, God has been the one who's been center point in everything, and that's what my goal and hope is. All right, so thank you. You don't know how much that means. It means a ton. Okay, well, for the rest of you, I'm Jack Cohen, and welcome to Haven Community Church. We're glad that you're here. If you're visiting, God bless you for being here. And if you would like to know more about the church, today actually we're having what we call our membership class. It doesn't lock you in, but if you want to find out some more about the church, please stay after today. This coming Saturday, November 1st, who likes candy? Who likes stuff? Trunk or treat. You can read the information about that. That's here. And it will be really, really cool. And you can see all the things about prizes and other stuff. Something new. November 21st. November 21st is Haven Open Mic Open Stage Night. We have some hidden talent for singing, dancing, reading poetry, telling jokes, or something really different. So mark your calendars for that Friday night and come out and perform. You get to stand up here. And we'll have a great time with that. And I know some people are very talented because I know that we've seen people share that talent very secretively in that time. Also, in the senior high and also the young adults, Joe is beginning a new study that goes along with the God Is Not Dead video. So if you're interested in that, please go ahead and connect with them today. Last week for emergency rotating shelter information, you can see that information there. And then you also have a sheet and another insert about the Thanksgiving food drive. Please look at that. Check out that information there. And you've got Donna's information if you'd like to connect with her about that. And Operation Christmas Child in 3 weeks. And then the Parish Foundation, there's a sign up. Is it out here? Out here in the Bell Cafe. Mark your calendars for November 16th. And many of you were blessed last week to have Mike Brandon with you. And I was actually in church from the web. I got to sit and watch it from West Virginia. Melissa and I took some time and took the older two and went out to Morgantown, West Virginia to see my Mountaineers. And because I came back in town, they decided to riot. In case you didn't hear, you know, Jack's back in town. They just they burned couches and stuff. It was a good time to just get away with family because it's really important to spend some time with your family as well. All right. So we do welcome you here, and God bless you. What I'd like you to do is just like stand around you and greet the people near you as we continue on. And we're going to do some prayer requests in a bit. Yes. All right. All right. If you'll return to your seats, we have a couple prayer requests that we want to lift up today. Did you get them both sides? Okay. We have a praise. Rob and Amy Sampson are celebrating their 1-year wedding anniversary. Where are they? And expecting any time, right? Huh?
December.
Expecting in December. Ray Caldwell asked for prayer for his sister Linda for some emotional issues. Patty Nichols asked to please keep her husband Randy and his family in your prayers as his stepdad passed away on Wednesday. Okay, on Wednesday. Let's see. I'd ask for prayers also for the family of Rita Allard. Many of you from Moore Chapel days or people who are friends of mine know my friend Hessel and Laura. It's Laura's mother who just passed away this morning from cancer. So we want to lift her in prayers. June, for a praise, she starts a new job tomorrow, and that's a prayer request that works out. Right? Yeah. Yeah, Chris is really glad, right? And then also, Bob Nichols has a birthday today, right, Bob? There's Bob, and happy birthday to Bob, and we're glad that he's... All right, let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we give you thanks for who you are, for all these prayer concerns that we have, and all these joys and everything else. God, we give you praise at this time. I thank you for people that that love you so much to be here week in and week out, just to connect to you and to learn what you have for them. In this world, we know that it's a crazy, crazy world, God, and that without you, there's nothing that we can have. There's nothing that we can see. For those who are here today and those who couldn't be, God, I know that in my own family, I got a little guy who's not feeling too well today. I ask for your healing to be on people during this kind of climate change, and now we're going back to some warmer weather this week, and I know that with that comes sickness. Just protect us and help us get done what we need to. For all those people on the list, those who've dealt with loss, and those who've dealt with joys, those who have dealt with surgeries and recuperation, those who are still, as we approach the season of holidays, who have had recent losses in their families, whatever it may be, God, you know the need, and only you can meet it. So we ask that you reach out and touch those people. And also, Father, as we take this time right now, none of this is worthwhile unless we focus on you. And so, Lord God, during this time that we have an opportunity to give back to you through our tithe, through your tithe and our offerings, whether we're here or whether we're at home watching online, we have that opportunity. And God, let us respond to that as well. Your scripture says you love a cheerful giver. And all this is only made possible because of your love for us that never fails and the love for others who respond and say, thank you, God, for being there for me. So God, anoint these gifts, multiply them, use them to meet, yes, the bills here, but more importantly, to do the ministry you've called us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Desire.
Good morning. I'm reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 21. The walk to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priest and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter."
Start where you stand and never mind the past. Past won't help you in beginning new. If you have left it all behind at last, why, that's enough. You're done with it. You're through. The world won't care about your old defeats. If you can start anew and win success, the future is your time. And time is fleet, and there is much of work and strain and stress. Forget the buried woes and dead despairs. Here is a brand new trial right at hand. The future is for him who does and dares. Start where you stand.
Okay. Today we're going to begin a new series today called Do Over. It was interesting. Like I said last week, I went to a place I had spent. I used to have a shirt that said WVU, the best 5 or 6 years of your life. I was in college, so you can figure that out. It was just interesting to be back there and just to look at some other things. I'll talk briefly about that. But one of the things that I found out in life is language matters. Did you know that? Language matters. And there's some interesting things that in our language that we go ahead and we combine two words, and they call them oxymorons, like jumbo shrimp. You know, not quite sure what you're going to get there. Other ones are, like, you might buy a leather coat, and you put it on, and you look at it inside, it says genuine imitation. Like, what is that? What is a genuine imitation? Or I always like faux pearls. You know, which, and people are like, "Oh, look at my pearls, they're faux." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's nice. That means false or fake." Or you might talk to a couple and they say, "You know, what we need is just some time alone together." All right? Or if you, anybody know anything about history? A civil war? How's that possible? How many of you like music? I know Chris does. How many like music? And if you ever like live albums, they're recorded live. Okay. Or how many of you have been hit by a soft rock? And everybody, is this time of year, you're looking for some warmer socks. Maybe you want some steel wool. which is interesting. Steel wool sucks. But there are some other things that when we look at in our lives, we begin to combine two words that when we really get personal, we find out that they're very important and hit us hard. And let's look at what some of these are. First one is my hurt. You can talk about my hurt. This is my hurt. And these describe our life. Or we may say my shame, that I have this shame in my life. Or maybe my fear. Here's what I fear. My fear is. Or my pain. And then if we get really real, we start to look a little bit deeper and we say, my failure. Or we get really honest and talk about my abuse. Or reflect and say, let me share with you about my rape. Or something that left a scar when I never thought would, my divorce. Others may look and be dealing with my health. I'm really struggling with my health and I'm in pain and I'm losing a grip and I feel my life ebbing and going away. My addiction. Let me tell you about my addiction. And some parents may say, my child. Let me share with you my child. I had hopes and dreams and I've cried with them and struggled with them and yet I haven't been able to see them make a crossover. And others may say, my parents, I don't know what to do with my parents. Could be a young person who's struggling with parental conflict and things that they're doing, or it could be that you're just in that stage in midlife where you have older parents and you're having to deal and help with them more. Whatever it may be, many of these things really just describe what is real and going on in our lives. So what I want to do is I want to take some time in this series and I want to ask the question, what do you do when life did not turn out the way you thought it would? When God doesn't show up at the times you want him to or you thought he would, and when you've been hurt by others intentionally. So in this series, we're starting, it's called Do-Over. And again, how do we deal with life when it doesn't turn out the way we want it to or thought it would? I just believe, and many people in life would love a do-over. Anybody here like a do-over? I almost called this a mulligan, the series Mulligan, which anybody know golf, you get a mulligan. My friends always give me mulligans, and when I get in tournaments, I buy a ton of them because it's going to be brutal. But a mulligan is you hit the ball, it goes way off, goes into the lake, goes in the woods, goes somewhere you can't find it where it's not supposed to, and just by paying money or bribing your friends, you get another one. It's like you never did it before. And wouldn't it be interesting if you did it again? I've heard before there is a theoretical physics. In theoretical physics, they talk about a time where you could actually, they're talking about the possibility of time travel, that if you could travel back in time, you could actually pick up from a spot where you made a decision. And because you're still in the future, that life continues to go on like it would. But you could go back and have a totally different path. Making the other choice. Wouldn't that be interesting to go ahead and do those things in life? So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about if you had a reset or a do-over in your life. And I'm going to share with you regarding this two of the most important words. It's something that I actually spoke about the last time I preached, but God has been hammering these words on my head and in my head ever since I said them because they actually weren't prepared in the sermon, but they came to the forefront. But I'm not going to tell you them now. I'm going to keep you wanting. But what I find is as human beings, we often tend to repeat our past time and time again. And many things that we see is when we've been hurt or let down, we tend to repeat those things all the more. We go back and repeat them again and again and again. And it's really interesting that when I had Jacob and Emigail with us in Morgantown, we would say something, oh, that's a place here, oh, that's a place. And my very horrible shacks that I lived in are still there, although one has a condemned sign. And it probably should have when I lived in it as well. But it was interesting because like at some point I'd say, oh, this is where it is. This is where this is. And Jacob said, oh, what did you say? What was fun about this place? And I'd say something, and that's all we're going to share about that. because you only need to know what you need to know. And so, but it was just really kind of surreal being back in a place that was very formative for my path forward. At one point, when I was in West Virginia, I had a really difficult time dealing with life and struggling that I actually left WVU as I loved it, but I left and came home. And I did attending class at Cecil, and when I did, it ended up connecting me to some people who I still look as formative in my life. As far as professors, one of them wrote my recommendation for grad school, and it was also a time where I ended up meeting Melissa and connecting to her. And then I ended up going back to West Virginia and finishing. And so when I was there, it was just kind of interesting taking in and thinking about how that was such a formative transitional part in my life. And yet I didn't even know it when I was there. And what if I had made this decision? Or what if that had happened? And so as I was looking at this, I was wondering about time since those 21 years. Yes, I know. I went there when I was 3. Those 21 years, have I repeated the past again and again? And there's something I want to share with you first on your bulletin, and it's this. Your past is not really your past if it still is impacting your present. Your past is not really your past if it's still impacting your present. Have you ever said to yourself, why do I continually do the same thing over again? The Apostle Paul also said this. He said, the good that I want to do is not what I want to do, but I keep on doing that same thing over and over and over again. Some of you may end up in all kinds of things. You may end up in a bad relationship again and again and again. And you're wondering why these relationships are breaking down. It may be that you're not disciplined, or it may be that you really don't desire those things, but I believe it's more than that. I want to share with you from a book that I heard a pastor speak about one time. And so what's really cool is I got it right away. And it's a book called Let Hope In by Pete Wilson. And there he is right there. He's a pastor. And he talks about counseling or speaking with a young woman named Kim. And he begins this by, when he tells us a little bit about when he first met Kim, it was very short and sweet, but he said, I could feel that Kim needed more time to share. And Kim was ready to get down to business, it says. And the first thing she says to him is, my life is a wreck. And he said he thought, well, join the club. Whose isn't? But she continued, she said, I'm sure you hear a lot of crazy stuff, but I need you to know before I share with you that I am really a good person. I mean, I'm not good, but I love God and I want to do the right thing, but I screw up so often. And so she began to share and confess and share many things. And it turns out that what they found out is she had made some really bad relationship choices in her life. And over the past year and a half, she had been involved sexually with 3 different men. 2 had been married at the time that the relationship had taken place. She was sorry, she was broken, she was repentant. But most of all, she was confused. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep hurting myself and those people around me? Why? Why? He writes, but as Kim and I continued to talk that day, there was a major theme that emerged, her past. Kim had spent a good portion of her life trying to win her father's attention, his approval, and ultimately his love. She shared with me story after story how she fell short of his expectations and failed to show up even on his radar. Interestingly enough, Kim's first affair was with her boss, and as we talked about that relationship, he said, I learned that it started because he was simply kind, understanding, and genuinely concerned about her. These were all the qualities that she wished her father would have. You see, because if your past is not your past, if it still impacts your present. So she got really honest in this deal and recognized that it was her past that was impacting her. And that's not much different than many of us here. We may have different situations, but we have a tendency to repeat those things, those past things again and again, especially those areas of deep hurt. The past, whether it's surface or whether it's deep, we still have a means of repeating them in our present. if it's really not our past. For some of you, it may be this deep, dark secret that nobody knows, and you have it there, and you it continually comes up. For some of you, it may be a broken marriage or a couple broken marriages that continue to come up. For some of you, it may be a sexual abuse that has affected your life and it still keeps coming up to the present. For others, it could have been that miscarriage that you had hoped for so long to have that child, and it broke apart. For others, it could have been that surprise parental divorce that you had no clue was coming from anywhere, and it left you seeking something. You said, it didn't bother you at the time, but really it did, and made a connection and just totally ripped you apart. For some of you, it may be something that we look at and we slough off, at least people my age, about bullying. But we find out more and more that with social media and other kinds of areas that people are just completely torn apart. In a class this week, I was speaking with a class and I was asking them about, has anybody ever shared rumors about you? And they started sharing with me about Slam Book, which was an online thing where they just totally tear people apart. The next few weeks, we're going to look at the choices that we make that can allow us to have do-overs, because it is capable of being there. And in order to start today, I want to go to Luke chapter 24. So I want you to join with me there in Luke chapter 24. This is a famous story. It occurred on the first Easter, and it is historically known as the Walk to Emmaus. And so we're going to look at this today as part of our search today. Okay, here we are. Again, I said it did happen on the first Easter, and you have two men who are walking along the road, and they just found out that Jesus had died. They're connected to him. They gave their lives to him. They devoted everything, and now all of a sudden he died. And with his death, they're lost. Their leader, they followed 3 years, who is Jesus, and he's killed, and they're just left wondering, what's going on? Where am I going to go? And they have no hope, and their dreams are shattered. So here we go. And I'm going to begin with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing?" They stood with their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one who is visiting Jerusalem that does not know the things that happened?" And Jesus said, "What things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a good, powerful prophet in word and deed. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, this is the third day since all this took place." Let's look at that. And if you'll go back a little bit, one of the things that they say there is it says, "But we had hoped." They're walking along the road. And how many of you have ever had a situation in your life where you've reached a point where you were talking and you were living, and all of a sudden you said, "But I had hoped that this was. I had hoped that this was the way out of my addiction. I had hoped that this was the relationship that I was going to have for the rest of my life. I had hoped that this was a job that I was going to have that was going to make me feel good about myself and allow me to contribute. I had hoped that my child was going to return some of that love. I had hoped that everything wouldn't fall apart in my life. I had hoped that this was going to be the procedure that got me well and healthy. I had hoped." Anybody been there before? And so you know that despair that exists in their lives. Everything they had hoped for, they had placed in Jesus. And you know what? Here's the thing. They didn't know he was going to raise from the dead. They weren't standing outside the tomb going, 10, 9, 8, 7, woo, come on, Jesus, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, woo. They didn't know that. They were as distraught as you and I are when we go into a place and our hopes are shattered and we begin to wonder, we had hoped, God, and it doesn't happen that way time and time again. There's not one of us in this room who can say that we've never reached a point in our life in some area that we had hoped. We had hoped, God, that you would heal this person so they wouldn't die. We had hoped by now I'd be married. We had hoped that I would have children. I had hoped that by now, that saying death do us part really meant that. Whatever it may be, some of us are just looking for some hope and some plans that we've made, and yet we've ended up with shattered and broken dreams. These two guys on Emmaus are no different than we are. They didn't even recognize Jesus, which I think is awesome. God kept them from recognizing him. And one of the things I find out, and this is the next thing in your bulletin, is that in our brokenness, there's times where we often struggle to see Jesus in the midst of it. In our brokenness, we struggle and struggle to see Jesus. Even though in those areas where I had no hope, that Jesus is the only hope, and I know what he can do, and I know that he's capable, I recognize that in my life, I have difficulty seeing him at times. That I struggle to see God in the midst of times when I'm struggling with some of those secret things that I deal with. Or I find it when I feel like I'm doing the right thing, and people I love and care about do anything but come alongside me, but come against me. I struggle in those areas and say, God, where is this part of your plan? Where is this God? Where are you? And so we go to verses 28 and 34. They walk along the road, and as we find out, Jesus begins to unpack from the beginning of the Old Testament all the way through about how he was to raise from the dead. And it says that they got to Emmaus, and they said, no, stay, it's getting late, stay. And as you can see in your bulletin, it says, as they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. At that moment he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord is risen, and he also appeared to Peter. Isn't it amazing that in this area, that when in the breaking of the bread, which had just been done a couple nights previously, where Jesus took bread, gave thanks to his Father in the Seder meal, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. And many scholars have shown that they believe that he was crucified here. So when he's breaking bread, he's here, that all of a sudden when he, in the brokenness of the bread, it reminded them and their eyes were open and saw the brokenness of who he is. And I think a lot of times we really need to see Jesus in our brokenness to recognize he was broken to pay the price for us. So many times people act like we have it all together. Once they saw the brokenness, they got gone, and within an hour they were back in Jerusalem. And what we find out, these two, along with 500 other people, shared testimony that we have seen the risen Lord from the time after he arose. So much so that when they go back in Acts and they have the people who actually killed Jesus, these people who were hiding and scattered are standing in front of the people who killed Jesus. And look at what they wrote in Acts, or what they said in Acts chapter 3. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses to this fact. This isn't something that we're making up. We put all our hope in him and we were shattered, but God raised him from the dead. And so when we look today, when it comes to Jesus, it's real. And the two most powerful words for your life are something I said when we were talking about Daniel. And I'm going to share it again today. But God. But God. Because when all your circumstances and everything's falling apart, when you had all your hope and it's all shattered, but God. That's all you have and that's all you need in life. It is the most powerful thing that we can experience. God stepped in and did the miraculous. Jesus was dead. His people were scattered. They were afraid. But God raised him from the dead, so much that they can face the people who actually killed him and said, you killed the author of life, but God raised him up. Does that excite anybody? I got to tell you, I need but God moments in my life. And so why is this so important for us? Why is this so important? Because if God has the power and ability to step in and raise Jesus from the dead, Here's the part I want you to fill in. Then God has the power and ability to change your life and your situation. Let me say that again. If God has the power and authority and ability to step in and raise Jesus from the dead, then guess what? In your situation, in your we had hoped, I had hoped situation, guess what? God has the power and the ability to change your life and your situation. How do I know that? Well, the scripture tells us that. There's a guy named Joseph. He had a really kind of cool coat. Depending on where you look, he either had a really like kind of coat of many colors, or if you're an Andrew Lloyd Webber fan, a Technicolor dream coat. It was a very ornamented coat. It was very special. It was one that was made for somebody who didn't do a lot of labor because he was kind of a mama's boy. And daddy liked him best, so he didn't have to do work. But Joseph experienced incredible abuse by his family. So much so that they said, here he comes, let's beat him up, let's chuck him in a hole, let's sell him into slavery. Now, I know Jill and I have had our conflicts in life, but I don't think there's any time that she would want to sell me in slavery. A couple times I wanted to sell her, but it didn't work out. But you know what I mean? How many of you have siblings out there? Get on your nerves. Anybody think about selling them in slavery and acting like they're dead? Okay, some of you are shaking your heads. Well, you can repent about that during communion. He was in a bad, bad situation. He was in jail. One time, he was just trying to be good and help out, and he had this leader's wife who thought he was pretty good looking. So much so that she ripped his clothes off of him. Anybody experience that? I know it's tough. But you know what I mean? She just wanted him so much, and he ran away without his clothes trying to be earnest. And then she told her husband that he really wanted to go ahead and tried to attack her. Put him in jail. Forgot about him. But God, all the way through that, you hear what I said? But God raised him up to a position that he was second in authority to only Pharaoh. And he had this opportunity that his family came in. They didn't recognize him. And you know, he says this right here. It's in your bulletin from Genesis chapter 50. You intended me harm, but God intended it all for good. You intended it for harm. What'd he say? But God intended it all for good. In other words, it was a bad situation, but God turned it around and made it good. There's another guy who was a leader. He had some moral issues that he struggled with that really caused his leadership to crash down. We're going to talk a little bit more about him in the series. His name's David. And he really made a bad moral choice. And as he's older in life, he says this: my health may fail and my spirit grows weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. He's falling apart. He's looking back on his life. He's seeing the good, the bad, the ugly that he did. But he's in all that. He says, I'm losing it. But God is still the desire of my heart. God is my strength. And I will rejoice in him. Jesus himself answers a question. He's asked a question that says, is it possible for broken lives or a broken world to be fixed? And Jesus gives us a really eye-opening answer where he says in Matthew chapter 19, humanly speaking, it's what? Impossible. But with God, how much? Everything is possible. You see, your hopeless situations, the things that have a hold on your life, I'm going to tell you, by your strength, are absolutely impossible. If you're trying to deal with hurt from years ago, you're going to repeat the same behavior. You may take a little vacation from it. You may have been hurt so bad that it makes you into the nastiest individual that has ever walked the face of the earth to the people that you love the most, because you've been hurt and you want to protect yourself. And you've tried to deal with it on yourself, and you tried coping mechanisms. I will tell you, when I became a pastor in Lewis, I was dealing with so much hurt that I decided to shut everybody out. And you know what I found out? It was killing me inside. And it changed me into somebody I didn't want to be. And guess what? The more I reach out and the more I open myself up, I get hurt. But with God, I'm made whole. You got me? That it's no matter what happens here, with God, all things are possible. And so all those situations of hopelessness, with God, all things are possible. Second thing that we learned is this. God is bigger than your history. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody's been struggling with dealing with their history, and it rears its ugly head every once in a while. You're dealing with a long list of stuff that your history is still affecting your present, so it's not really in your past. But let me tell you something. God is bigger than your history. How do I know? Because the scripture tells me he is the Alpha and the Omega. His name is I Am, which means I have always been. He's a Popeye God. I am what I am, right? That's who he is. And so in your, as the scripture calls it, light and momentary troubles that have affected and may have crumbled and changed you in your life, God is bigger than that history that you have. God is bigger than that situation that happened to you. God is bigger than the sexual abuse or the physical abuse. God is bigger than all those things. Yes, that's horrific, but give it to God and let him work through that and bring healing and restoration to those areas. Whatever your situation is, God can change it. Here's the thing. God won't remove it. He can't remove it. He could, I guess. He could say zap, but he doesn't. But what he does is he changes it. And in the same nature of that, yesterday, number three, yesterday does not have a control on who you can be today. Yesterday does not have a control over who you can be today. Don't give your history and your past any more power than it has. It's done enough damage to your life. It's done enough damage to mine. Stop giving it control over your life now. Because Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And if we're caught in our past and everything, we are never going to get to that abundant life that God promised. And that's what I want in my life. Some may sit here right now and say, you know what, Jack, I can't change. You don't know what I've gone through. I want to share with you something that was done. There's a study done by Martin Seligman, S-Seligman, S-E-L-I-G-M-A-N. And he wanted to figure out if he could learn to teach hope or hopelessness. So what he did, he took some dogs and he put them in like a cage, and two different cages, had two different sets, and he began to shock the floor. And one, they had a button that if they stepped on, it would stop the shocks. The other one had no button. And what he found out is the ones who had the button eventually learned to shut it off. And so anytime it would start, they'd shut it off. The ones who didn't have a button eventually just sat down and laid there depressed and upset. So he said, let's do something else. He put up another cage and put them all in the same cage together and had a divider that, and they shocked this floor, but if you jumped over the other side, you wouldn't get shocked. The ones who had the button, who had learned about hope in the midst of being shocked, they very quickly learned to jump over. The sad thing was, the ones who had learned hopelessness before and just laid down, even though they saw the other dogs jumping to freedom, they stayed right there and took the shocks, having hopelessness. And so what he began to make a decision and a thought about was that we learn hope and we learn hopelessness. And if I look around our world today, I think a lot of us have had a good dose of learning hopelessness in our life. And you look around our society and you see people, everything that is ravaging our community and our world is because people have forgotten that we have hope in Jesus Christ. And that we place our hope in people, in individuals, in substances, in practice, and in actions. And we forget that our hope is only in the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And as the old hymn said, all other ground is sinking sand. When we put our hope in something else, we will end up like those dogs laying down, beat up, and hopeless. This is a key in our lives because of your past. Some of you have learned hopelessness. Some of you have learned hopelessness. And the last thing I want to share with you today before we move to communion. There is no one. Let me say that again. There is no one too broken for God. There is no one that has been too much hopelessness that God can't give you hope. There is no situation that you have that God can't be the answer to. It is possible for you to have a but God moment. And you need to tell him, I need you, God, during this moment. If you're walking, as the praise team comes up, as you're walking down the Emmaus Road and you are those people, I want you to ask yourself, these questions. What conversation are you having that is filled with hopelessness or lost hope? What are you saying to others? Are you much like Kim, the lady we shared, that you're trying to please somebody who did damage to you years ago? Where is your loss of direction and hope now in your life? And ultimately, what is stopping you right now from asking God this question and saying, God, I need a but God moment. I need a but God moment. I need that for my life. You know my hopelessness. You know where I am. I need but God right now. Please stand. I'm going to go ahead and do something a little different. I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to go over to communion. And we're going to let them play the songs. We'll serve them communion afterwards. We usually serve them first. How we're going to do communion, I don't believe we have, I need 6 people to serve. If you feel led by the Lord, just please come forward. And I just want us to just bow in prayer right now, if you can. Thank you, God, for your goodness. And how you love us in all our brokenness. How, God, you prove faithful time and time again. And yet, Lord, many of us just keep on that same cycle of repeating the same behavior time and time again because our past really is not in our past. It's controlling our present. And God, I know that there are many of those of us here who've just ended up that we had hoped in something and we lost hope. And so for those of us who are on that Emmaus road, I know there's people here who are tired, they're lost, they're broken, and they're beaten down by life. Everything that they have placed in, maybe even that they thought they placed in your hands, God, has not worked out the way they thought it should be. And they're hurting. Here today, your past is impacting your present. You had hope that today would be different. When you graduated high school or when you went to college, you had a different plan for your life. And it's left you disillusioned and lost. You need a but God moment. Hurts from others in your past and even present have broken you down and crippled you beyond the point that you can't even see where you're headed. So if you need a but God moment, just raise your hand right now and say, I need it, God. I need it. I see them. Hands are starting to go up all over the place. I need that but God moment. I need you in my life, God. Amen. And there's others who are tired and shattered on your own. And you thought you knew God. Maybe you don't even have a clue what this thing is about. And as we move to this communion, it's going to give testimony to the fact that when Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he broke it, and he also took the cup and began to pass it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. That in your life, there's so much brokenness, but Jesus says, come to me, let me take all that upon me. And let me give you a new life. And as we celebrate communion, may this be the body and the blood of Christ for each of us. And if you need to know Jesus, just simply say this. And everybody can say it aloud if they want, or just say it if you need it. Just going to raise your hand and say, I need to know you, Lord. And raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And in that saying, God, I'm a sinner. I've messed this thing up. You know my life is in a mess, but I need you. I need you, Jesus, to come into my life, to heal my hurts, to give me strength, to help me get through not only this day, but minute by minute, to release me from the bondage that Satan has put upon my life, and ultimately, God, to give me that new life in you. And I give you my life in Jesus' name. If you prayed that, just raise your hand. Just lift it up. I see those hands. Praise God that all heaven's rejoicing. And now we're going to move to the period of communion. And we're going to keep in an attitude of prayer and focus. And as I mentioned, Jesus gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat this. This is my body. The servers would come forward. He took the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, for each of us, send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ. Amen. As I serve them, there are going to be two here, and two there. What I'd ask is that if this group would come down this way, this one this way, and that one that way, and then just return. And you're all, as always, we're open for prayer. I'm also going to ask if there are Stephen ministers and prayer coordinators would come forward. So you're already here. That's all right. Debbie, if you'll go to the side, and Randy, if you'll come down here. Oh, you can wait for a communion. And then we're going to go ahead, and they're going to be here to pray with you as well. All right? Go ahead.
As we break this bread, as we drink this cup, Lord, we remember how you gave your life on a brutal cross. Lord, we remember this is the way we've chosen to say. Is the way you make all things new.
You can also come from this side.
This is the way you've chosen to say. This is the way you make all things new. Broken and beautiful. Perfect justice, mercy's embrace.
As we break this bread, as we drink this cup, Lord, we remember it was for my sin that your flesh was.
to say, this is the way you make all things new. This is the way chosen to say, this is the way you make all things new.
Amen. Awesome, awesome. Great, great move of the Spirit. From the point we came in here today, you could just feel the Spirit moving. Amen? So, and don't let it stop when we walk out the doors. Let it keep going, because no matter what your situation is, but God. And then we're back to that. So, next week, I just want to show next week. Let's go put it up there. Next week, the theme is do-over, and it's cover-up. And another reminder. Go ahead, Melinda, give them the reminder of just the, that's up there. Next week, what are you supposed to do? Daylight savings. You get an extra hour of sleep, right? Everybody excited about that? Praise God for that. Have an awesome week in Jesus. And for those of you who are going to go ahead and stay right here for the new member. If you want to find out about more about the church, please stay here. And the rest of you, have a great week in the Lord. Amen.
As your word blows down far away, I sing to you. And my heart cries, holy, hallelujah.
you're near. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing.